Good morning, and welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. We're blessed to be here in the house of our Lord, the place He promises to meet us and visit us with His word and His sacrament, and so we receive His grace in that way. We give thanks to God for His blessings to us, and as we join together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we extend a special greeting and welcome to all who might be visiting with us here today. Please do note that we will worship this morning using Divine Service Setting 3, as it is the fifth Sunday of the month. That begins on page 184 in our hymnal, and as it is a fifth Sunday, we will have a special offering collected at the door as we exit the sanctuary this morning to help support any from our congregation who are currently in church work studies at one of our our synod's institutions. We begin then with our opening hymn, hymn 620, Jesus Comes Today with Healing. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Savior. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. For not from the east or from the west, and not from the wilderness comes lifting up. But I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. It is God who executes. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit. Let us pray.
O Lord of grace and mercy, teach us by your Holy Spirit to follow the example of your Son in true humility, that we may withstand the temptations of the devil and with pure hearts and minds avoid ungodly pride. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is from Proverbs chapter 25. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life, and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, whose blood of for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Together we confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Championship parades bring thousands to line the streets of the hometown team. Festivals and shows shine the spotlight on the most lavish new fashions and trends. Engagement rings worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Luxury homes, cars, planes, and yachts owned en masse by one person. Trophies distributed, rewards awarded. Is it wrong for the winners to be celebrated? Is it immoral for the wealthy to own nice things? Is a bird showing off when it flies? None of these are wrong or sinful in and of themselves. Would that everyone would indeed be able to enjoy such lavish blessings, and those who are saved by faith in Jesus Christ will be rewarded far beyond all of these great things. But the risk that is attached to such fortune in this life is the sin of pride. Now, Jesus had been invited to dine in the house of a ruler, a chief over all of the Pharisees. And this would no doubt be an extravagant affair. The best of the best among them gathered in one place. And Jesus himself was there, so attending such a function was not sinful in itself. And it was a Sabbath day. And so they were celebrating and enjoying a Sabbath meal, the meal prepared in advance of that chief day of rest. Present there, amongst the company of all those Pharisees and lawyers, was a man with dropsy. Now, we would know this today as something along the lines of edema or retention of fluids in the different parts of the body. And so the swelling of this man's limbs would be noticed even by those around him through his robe-based attire. Knowing that the Pharisees were keeping an eye on him, watching him closely, Jesus asked, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" Even the question hints at Jesus' identity as God. For who has the power to heal but God alone? Jesus healed the man and sent him along on his way. But to keep the onus on the Pharisees and the lawyers, Jesus asked, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath, would not immediately pull him out?" Celebrated, revered for their great religious piety, the Pharisees and those of their ilk felt they were masters over the laws of God. Of course, they thought it was wrong, sinful, unclean to heal, even on the Sabbath day. Now, this charge would later be brought against Jesus himself at his trial before his death. Their pride in their own ideas, in their own selves, blinded them from the compassion of God. Righteousness and purity was more important to God than mercy and kindness, they would teach and proclaim. Well, then Jesus observed the sorting out process of such guests at this fine dinner occasion. They all strove for the best seats in the house, any that would be available to them. Jesus took the opportunity to speak to the entire assembly through a parable. And we have all likely been there in that situation some way, shape, or form. You enter into a classroom, or into a lunchroom, or into the sanctuary of the church, or a banquet of any type, and you take a seat. Someone comes up to you and says, "Excuse me, you're sitting in my seat." You did not even know there were assigned seats, or better seats than what you had taken. And that kind of situation is bad enough. Well, certainly do not expect to sit in a more favorable seat in the room. For then the master may come and tell you, take a lower spot. Instead, Jesus said, strive for the lowest spot, the lowest seat. Count others as more significant than yourselves, St. Paul teaches in Philippians chapter 2. Then when the master of the party sees you sitting so far away in such a low place, he will bestow upon you the honor of a better seat, and no one will come and take it away. And so with these words, the Lord Jesus quotes great King Solomon almost verbatim from the words we heard in our Old Testament text from Proverbs. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. Well, of course, Jesus did not simply get these words from Solomon, for Solomon first got them from Jesus, who is the wisdom of God incarnate. Now, all of this strikes hard against the sins of pride and arrogance. There is nothing wrong in this life with being proud of your accomplishments, being thankful for the great gifts and blessings that God has bestowed upon you. But the problem comes when that pride leads you to think you have reached the pinnacle, that you are the best of the best and cannot get any better, and that no one could ever be better than you. A championship is won one year, but then lost the next. Records are set, but are soon broken. Great and lavish rewards are received only to sit on a shelf, collect dust, and fall apart over time. And Jesus had already been busy teaching his disciples that some who are first will be last, and some who are last will be first. Here in Luke 14, Jesus restates that truth. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Why is this so wrong? Why is it wrong to bask in glory or to exalt ourselves above the rest? Well, it is improper to do so first and foremost because it is not the way of God. Consider the wondrous works of God. All of creation testifies to the glory and greatness of God, as Psalm 19 says. God alone is truly worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise at all times. And yet, he is not constantly out there tooting his own horn, blaring out his voice throughout all the world, announcing every single thing he is doing. Instead, it is Solomon who says in Proverbs 25, it is the glory of God to conceal things. Now, Jesus often hints at this truth as he teaches about the kingdom of God and of his salvation in parables. And he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. The famous confirmation verse from Proverbs 3 says, God is humble. Jesus Christ is humble, and he calls on all people to be humble too. And our Lord's mother rightly understood God's view on pride in her words of the Magnificat. He has looked on the humble estate of his servant. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. God uses the lowly to accomplish his purposes. And this is seen most clearly in Jesus himself. the eternally begotten Son of God. His rightful place is at the right hand of the Father, the seat of power and might itself. All of the angels worship him as their creator. He is king, and he is Lord over all. And yet, the Son of God did not consider equality with the Father a thing to be grasped, a possible nod at Satan's own fall. Instead, the Son of God humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant. Jesus, the Son of God, even became obedient unto death, the very wage of sin, the bane of life itself. And even it was death on a cross, a most shameful way for any man to die. And death and shame, those should be the farthest things from the one true God. And yet Jesus, true God and true man, embraced them both. He clothed himself with our sin, and he gave into our death, all so that you would be free from sin and from death forever in his glorious resurrection. Jesus is the perfect picture of humility, and his work as the humble servant of God has won for you eternal life and salvation. You and I, we are the lowest of the low in our sin and in our death. But because of Christ Jesus the Lord, you will be raised up to be seated with him in glory, in the best seat in the house. And that glory you will enjoy without end. All because of Jesus and his great victory for you. Amen. A peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to sing the offertory. We're seated once more as the tithes and offerings are collected.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, thou Lamb of God,
Christ,
We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You may be seated. The next Eat Night for our school is 1 week from tomorrow, as tomorrow is September 1st, so we will be joining together at Portillo's here in Champaign. Flyers for that are available on the table as you exit the sanctuary this morning, so please do feel free to take one of those with you. Lifelight Bible Study does resume coming up September 17th in that week, and it's the study of the Gospel of John, so if you're interested in joining a midweek Bible class in the evening times, you're welcome to do that. Do they still do a Thursday morning session? Yes, I see you head nodding, so that's good. You can join in that as well. Sign-up sheets should be available in the overflow area of the sanctuary. Our LWML ladies continue to collect school supplies for donation to Orphan Grain Train, so if you're interested in helping with that drive, you can do so. If you can see all the supplies that have been collected thus far in the coat room, you can bring those in and place them there. Lastly, our fall session of the adult information class / adult instruction class / new member class / Lutheranism 101. That starts 1 week from today in the afternoon, 1 o'clock in our fellowship hall. So if you're interested in joining the church, want to know more about the Lutheran faith, or need to brush up your Lutheran catechesis, if it's been more than 5 years, I encourage that, then join us for that class next week at 1 o'clock in our fellowship hall. Other announcements you can find printed within your bulletin. Sunday school starts after our fellowship hour. Adult Bible class in the fellowship hall studies the teachings of the faith according to the Orthodox tradition. So join us as we go forth in peace. Awesome. Elise, how are you? Bryce, good to see you. Hi, Sarah, how are you? Good, good. All right, Max, blessings. Have a good day. Good to see you, Brad. Good morning. Bye, Ruby. All right, Lon. I know, especially. Bye, Gene. Take care. God's peace. can't control it more than that. I guess I can turn it off. It's on mute. Hello, Jamie. How are you? Abby, good morning. God's peace. Oh, Elise's already been through. Alma, blessings. Good to see you.